Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
a memory.
Oh, what joy,
joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I
long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
days
of memory,
of memory.
Oh, what
joy, oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long,
how I long
once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord. Greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we go to your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to give us strength, to give us guidance, Father, so that we can walk closer and walk in obedience unto you and to your word. Now, Father, be with Dennis this morning as he speaks, and we're asking this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Brother Dennis.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yeah, wish everybody that's a father a happy Father's Day. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to talk about today. And I actually had like three or four different topics that I wanted to talk about. And then I guess it was Thursday or Friday night. I can't remember which one. But I was reading the news because anymore about the only good news you get is online because you know, all the garbage on TV. At any rate, I was reading an article, which I actually got printed out. So that's ultimately what we're going to be talking about. But it's all about the end times. And the way I like to do things is because for some ungodly reason, everybody seems to think you don't need the Old Testament anymore. Shouldn't read the Old Testament. It's got nothing to do with the New Covenant. All that crap. Well, I got news for you. It's very insightful, particularly about the end times. But it's very insightful about Christ as a whole. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off in the Old Testament, then we're going to move to the New Testament. And then in the end, I'm going to not necessarily read this article, but read a couple of highlights out of this article, and it'll all come together at that point.
I'm going to interrupt you just a minute. You have to really listen to him. He ain't a big man like me.
Okay. If you got your Bibles, please turn to Daniel chapter 3. Right. Give you a second to get there. All right. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dara in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces was gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the king, the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, to you it is commanded, O nations and languages, that at what time you are to hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and whosoever falleth not down and worship shall that same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou king hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worship, that should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom that has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you ye not serve nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if it not be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, and their coats, their hosen, their hats, and other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and kings, and counselors, again gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent the angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language will speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That was actually a rather long chapter, but it's got a lot of actually very important parts in there. And we'll come back to dissecting that in just a second. I said I wanted to cover a couple different places. Now, if you'll turn with me to Revelation 13, I'm not going to read that whole thing on Revelation. If you will, go to, we'll start at verse 14. Let's see. All right, verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on earth by the means, go to 12. It gives a little more of the story here. And he exercises all power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that which dwell in therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly heel was wound. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that all dwell on earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. The image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark on their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the beast in his own, the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, and his number is 666. Okay. If you noticed, they were both talking about an image there. In the news, and I'll, this was actually on the TV as well, by the way. It was on one of the morning shows back in the first part of May, I believe it was. But there's this company out of, it's Dublin, Ireland, and they're making a giant that's 10 stories tall. And this giant, I'll just read it to you. The giant's arm and head can be moved. It's got a skin on it. It can talk. Here's a picture of it. But it can talk. It can move. It can change shape, change form. all this stuff, and this is real. It's already out there. It's real. They are right now looking for 21 cities across the globe because they want to make 21 of them. And by the end of the year of 2021, this year, they want to have all 21 of these things set up. And they were bidding on cities to, you know, to get this thing. So far, you got Singapore, Phoenix, Arizona, New York City, London, England, and I can't even remember all the other cities that they were putting this thing in. But they're promoting it like an amusement park, so to speak. But the scary part about this is they're all tied together. All 21 of them are all tied together. So while they can all be individually done, you know, this one can have Batman on it or Superman or Barack Obama or whatever the world they want to put on there. They say they can change it every hour if they want to change it. But it moves, it talks, sings, does whatever they want it to do. And they got all this stuff together, and like I say, if they're spread out all over the world, they're initially putting 21 of these things up. Well, let's say they get them in all the major metropolitan areas, you know, New York, Los Angeles, you know, Atlanta, just in our country. And then they do the same thing in all these other countries all around the world. Like I say, they're wanting to have 21 of these up by the end of this year. And they're all tied together. That sounds remarkably close, and I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying this sounds remarkably close to what the Bible is talking about. That just shows us we are just that much closer to the end times. And another thing that you may or may not know is they have created this, and they're actually doing this right now. This came out a couple of years ago, but it's starting to really take hold where they can implant some kind of, for lack of a better word, a chip into your brain, and you can talk to a computer, literally talk to your computer, and your computer can talk back to you. You don't have to sit there and type. You don't have to talk to it. You don't have to do any manual anything. It literally does what you want it to do. Now, if you combine that with this, and being as they're all tied together, it's scary, to be honest with you. It truly, truly, truly is scary. So I just wanted to share that with you because really, really getting close. But now let's go back to Daniel and talk about that because I think that is got a lot of good information in there for all of us. The first thing that I wanted to say, what we already know about the golden image, Nebuchadnezzar set up his golden image. And the one that Nebuchadnezzar set up was 60 feet tall, 3 cubits, which is 60 foot. So the one that they're building now is 10 stories, which is substantially larger. But still, back in those days, 60 foot was pretty big. And it was a golden image, and they played music, which, by the way, that's what this one does as well. Played music, and then whenever the music played, you were supposed to bend down, worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar, which, by the way, he thought himself as a god. Excuse me. But the gist of what they're talking about here is you had Shadrach, and Abednego. They refused to bend down, and because they refused to bend down to the image, you know that pretty well ticked Nebuchadnezzar off. So he built the furnace 17 times hotter than it had ever been built before. The fire in it was 17 times hotter than it was before. It was so hot that whenever the people that were hauling them up there to throw them into the furnace, it was so hot that it actually killed them before it threw them in there. which gets back to once you're reading Revelations about what's going to happen in the end times, if you're not following suit in their little scheme, that you're going to be killed. The difference is being a Christian, you're not going to be killed by fire. You're going to be most likely, actually it says you're going to be killed by beheading. But all the evil people in this case are going to be killed by fire when it's all said and done. So at any rate, they got thrown into the fire, you know, because they had faith. They had, you know, true, honest faith. They knew that they were going to be taken care of. And if God didn't take them out of it, that they wasn't worried about it because they knew they were protected by God, whether they died or not, or whether they pulled them out of it or not. They knew that they were protected. They knew that their God had their back and they were going to be saved. And that's actually how people before Christ actually were saved. They were saved by faith, which is the exact same way you're saved, by the way. It's by faith. So nothing's really changed. And then it says that Nebuchadnezzar saw four people walking around inside the fiery furnace. Well, I know that the fourth person was Christ walking around inside there. In one place it calls him an angel, but in multiple places in the Old Testament they called Christ before he was actually born, they called him the angel of God. So in my mind, that's Christ walking around in there taking care of them. But at any rate, they had the faith, they were saved, they didn't have any issues. And then when it was all said and done, they were given reign over a good portion of Babylon, which, when you think about it, that's exactly what the New Testament tells you is going to happen to you after you go through the exact same kind of ordeal whenever you get beheaded or go through the tribulation period, however you die, that you'll be given reign over a certain part of the earth at that particular, after all the things are done. So, and then you go and you compare that to what Revelation says about the beast, you know, because it's saying pretty much the same thing. It says that it's saying that you're going to have to worship the image of the beast. And if you don't worship the image of the beast, then you should be killed. And then all the other people that actually are worshiping the beast, they're going to take the mark on their hand or in their forehead, which I'm going to get into here in just a second. And whenever it's all said and done, all those people, which I'm not going to get into later, they're all killed. All right. So another thing that is very interesting that I've actually found in the news, I found this a while back though, which gets into the vaccines that everybody's pushing right now. And I'm going to tell you, if the government's pushing something, you need to steer clear of it. And it's just straight up. I worked for the government for 38 years, and I can tell you with all sincerity, if the government is pushing it, you want to go the other way. There's absolutely no good going to come out of it. At any rate, there's this thing called ID 2020, and I think I talked about this maybe a couple months ago. But they are in cahoots, this group called ID 2020, which is a sub-company that Bill Gates owns, which is also one of the ones that's been pushing the vaccine, but I ain't going to get into the politics of all that. At any rate, they've come up with a tattoo. It's just a little square tattoo. And it's just like one of the ones that the kids play with, you know, where they just put a marker on their hands and it stays there for a little while. And that's basically what this is. They're promoting it as a vaccine. And it literally says, you can't make this stuff up, it literally says that two places that they're going to put this is on your right hand or on your forehead. I swear. And what happens is this tattoo, it's got the vaccine in it. They place it either on your right hand or on your forehead. And then after 24 to 48 hours, it disappears. You won't see it anymore, okay? And it injects the vaccine into your skin. And the reason they want to do it on your forehead is because you got a lot of major blood vessels right there, and it'll go straight into your bloodstream. And I don't know if you've ever had a cut on your head. You bleed profusely with even the smallest cut, so there's obviously a lot of blood vessels there as well. And that's why they want to do those two places. And they're also, because it's called ID 2020, each one of these things also, I don't want to call it a chip per se, but it has like nanotechnology built into it that does the exact same thing. It IDs you as to who you are. So you can take your cell phone, because you, once it disappears, you can't see it on your hand or on your forehead. But you can take a cell phone, and there's an app. You can actually look it up. There's an app that you can take and scan it over your hand, and it lights up, and you can see it. That way, your COVID pass, like there's a couple of places in Louisville right now you can't even get into unless you show your COVID pass. You know, and that's right now. So, and I know some of the major cities like New York and Chicago and L.A., they've been doing that and can continue to do that, because those are serious bastards of liberalism there. But you can take that phone, or like a lot of nightclubs and stuff, they'll put them little marks on your hand when you go in, and they'll take a black light and you can go over and you see it. Something similar, real basic, similar to that. But it's a special light. It's not a black light. And they can run their phone over and see it. It'll scan it, ID you as to who you are, saying, yes, you had the shot or the thing. And one thing that you noticed with the when I was talking about the mark, it says that no man might buy or sell save he have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Notice it didn't say, it says you can't buy without it. It don't say you buy with it. We just seen a very good example of that. You know, there's a lot of places right now, like I was just saying, you cannot go into unless you show your COVID pass. So if my speculation, and this is just speculation on my part, okay, I foresee later this year, next year, another round of this crap coming out, which we all know is fake. It ain't nothing but the flu. But there's going to be another round of it, and this time it's going to be something more severe, and people who truly are going to be dying instead of, you know, somebody dying in a car wreck and then they're calling it COVID. It's going to be people actually dying from this stuff, and then they're going to get – everybody's already got the mindset. Everybody's already got the mindset, so it's not going to be nothing. And it's been, like the pastor said, several times. This is the first time since Noah's flood that this has been a worldwide event. I mean, literally worldwide. Every country on the planet did the exact same thing. That ought to tell you something in and of itself. First time in history that every nation on the planet got together and did something together. And my personal opinion, it wasn't a good thing, but that's just my opinion. It's truly setting up for what we just read. Truly setting it up. And then you throw this in there on top of that, and then throw in the fact that they've got these things that computer chips where somebody, anybody can control it, and they can control it from their mind even, you know. Plus all these things are tied together. So they're all saying the exact same thing. So now you got the Antichrist that's out there saying something, and it's being spread out all over the world. Everybody in the world can see it. And it's pushing out music or whatever. Let's just say they'd use the same thing, music, to do this. And then all of a sudden, you got to bow down. Now, I'm going to throw a caveat in there that's probably going to tick a lot of people off. Maybe even call me a heretic. But does any of this sound any familiar to what's going on in the world today? Music, bowing down. It's what Muslims do. exact same thing the Muslims do. They hear that the Allah call, and they don't have a choice. Bow down right then and there, wherever they are. And I've spent time over in the desert, and I'm telling you, if somebody ain't doing it, they got these religious guys walking around with great big sticks, and they come up there and smack the crap out of them and beat them down. They literally beat them till they're on the ground and do it. I've watched them. I've seen it happen. And they literally do. They just beat the holy crap out of them. And sounds very familiar. And another caveat to that whole premise, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist is going to be a Persian, which Middle East. It could be Turkey, could be Iran, could be top part of Iraq. You know, that's where Persia was, that whole Syria, the whole area right there. And another thing, I don't know how many of you pay attention to the news that's going on in Israel. You have Hamas that's been raising Cain over there. But you got Iraq, Syria, and they're all being fronted by Iran right now. You know, they're keeping their nose clean, but they're all Iranian. Matter of fact, Hamas is an Iranian front as well. But this was in the news. There's a newspaper called Israel 360, and it keeps track of all the news. It's from Israel. It's actually an Israeli news article. It's from Christians, but they're in Israel. And they were saying, matter of fact, they even had the leaders of these groups' statements where some faction out of Iraq told Syria that we're just waiting on you to attack Israel. You tell us when, and we're going to do it. So they want to have a consortium, so to speak, of all of them doing it all at the exact same time. They want to hit them all at once. They figure if they hit them all at once from all four corners, they might get somewhere. And that was just in the news just this past week. So they're already gearing up to do what they want to do. And then when you throw in what Trump did not too very long ago with the Abrahamic Accord, so now you got the Gog Magog thing, the king of the north and the king of the south. The king of the north at this point, we will call Israel, not Israel, but Iran. And then you got the other side of it, which is pushing the other half of it, which would be Saudi Arabia. So these two are going to get together. And Iran has said multiple times over the course of history that they're not very happy with Saudi Arabia, particularly because after their big shakeup in the 70s in Iran, after they kicked the Shah out, the Saudis wouldn't let the Iranians come in. And as you know, as part of their tenet, part of their seven pillars, they have to go to Mecca. But they won't let them in because they're Iranians. So there's a big clash right there. So the Iranians have said they were just going to destroy Mecca anyway. And whenever you can take, I mean, it's just my perception on it, you can take some of the words out of Ezekiel, and it literally says that parts of that part of the world are going to be destroyed. And speaking of which, while I'm on the Muslims, a lot of people, and I truly do, I've got, I don't know, 10 or 15 friends that are Muslim. And actually, I know a guy that I've known for a lot of years, a real good guy. He's from Iraq. I know another guy that's from Iran, and a couple from Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're real good guys on the, you know, personable level. And honestly, I have sat down with each and every one of them, as a matter of fact, with the Bible and talked about it. And believe it or not, they know the Bible. I ain't going to say they know it as well as we do, but they know what's in the Bible. They're misguided because of they follow the Quran. But in the Quran, believe it or not, talks more about Jesus than any other thing. However, it's not the same Jesus that we're praying to. That's the key. They don't, because they say they're worshiping the same God. They're not worshiping the same God. They absolutely are not worshiping the same God. They will say that they are. And most of them truly and honestly believe that. But whenever you start looking deeper and deeper into it, matter of fact, it's in the book of Acts that the Kaaba stone, which is in Mecca, which is what they're praying, are going walking around seven times in Mecca. That was that black Kaaba stone was actually in the Temple of Artemis, which is talked about in Acts. That's where Paul was at. That's where, you know, they had that great big fight whenever they were talking about in the book of Acts, where he was preaching in Ephesus, that they came in and was having all the issues, and they were going to kill him, and they had him all in the, well, I ain't going to get into the story, but they had him in the Colosseum, and they were getting ready to kill him. But all this stuff all ties together. And like I've said many, many times before, if you pick this book up and read it on a regular basis, there's a wealth of information in here that you can't just read just the New Testament. You got to read it all, because it all ties together. It all puts everything in perspective, particularly if you read the whole book. It puts it all in perspective, just like I was just showing you. The story of, in the Old Testament actually complements the one in the New Testament. It actually gives you a lot more information, to be honest with you. Now, the New Testament portion is all in there as well, saying the exact same thing. It's just spread out throughout the whole thing. Whereas in Daniel, it was just one complete story that told the whole thing from front to end. That's why I read that whole thing. And it also shows you that if you have trust and faith in God and put all your trust and faith in Jesus, that in the end, no matter what happens, He's always there with you. He's going to save you from whatever's coming on, whether it be a physical, literal saving you, pulling you out of the fire, or whether He's saving you from going to hell whenever it's all said and done. You're being saved. And that's the key that most people don't realize. The Bible tells us, like, in fact, out of Christ's own mouth, He said, pick up your cross and follow me. That literally means the cross was an instrument of death. So He wants you to follow Him to death. If He's not telling you to go out and commit suicide, obviously, but you got to have enough faith to follow Him all the way in to that fiery furnace, if that's what it takes. Because some of us, and I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, that here in the next few years, what we're talking about right now is coming to, it's going to happen. I mean, it's, things have accelerated to a pace like no other. You know, we went 6,000 years on horse and buggy. 6,000 years on horse and buggy. And of course, well, now that's 2021, so I can't say in the last 100 years, but in the last 120, 130 years, we literally went from horse and buggy to the moon. Yeah. And that was 50 years ago, you know. Think of all the other changes that's happened since then. My grandmother literally went from horse and buggy to the moon. You know, and that was in the course of 50 years. 6,000 years, nothing, and then all of a sudden 50 years, and then all of a sudden now we're talking about something that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, talking about the image of the beast, nobody could even comprehend what they were talking about. Now we're seeing it. I mean, we've got pictures of it. It's right there. It's all coming to a crescendo. And I honestly think we don't have much more time. I think if you don't have your life right, you need to get it right real quick. Because building faith is it don't happen like that. Okay? You got to go through a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. It's hard. You put you literally got to put the armor of God on every single day, because the closer you get to God, the more he fights you. I mean, daily, sometimes hourly. I mean, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's hard. It's truly hard. It's not an easy task being a Christian, a true Christian. It's hard. You got to put forth a lot of effort. You're going to take ridicule and shame and people fighting you all the time just because you say you're a Christian. Take me, for example. I'll use myself as a prime example. 5 years ago, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind I was going straight to hell. Absolutely no doubt in my mind. I was the worst of the worst. If it had been done, I had done it. If it could be done, if it was one of the Ten Commandments, I broke it at least every day. Every day. Sometimes two or three times a day. Every single solitary one of them. I was terrible. I was the worst of the worst. People that know me, that know that I'm working to stand behind this, are freaking out. I said, the church didn't fall in on you? I mean, because I was that bad. I truly was. But God turned me around, you know, and it's just slow. I still have problems. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I understand that. I'm not perfect. That's my goal, but I know I'm not there yet. I'm learning and gathering and gaining every day, but it is a fight, and I do mean a true, honest fight every single solitary day. I don't really have anything else other than you really need to read your Bible. You need to study your Bible, and I do mean study, because every single word in this book means something. I'll give you a good example. Let me find it here. One that everybody's heard, one that everybody speaks about. And I guarantee you 99% of the people that quote this verse have absolutely no clue what it truly means. And that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The little word in changes the whole perspective of what you're talking about. Most people believe that it's believe on. In other words, I'm here, so you believe I'm here. You know I'm here. But would you give me every dime in your bank account? Absolutely not. You don't know who I am. I know that. But that's the kind of things that that's talking about. You have to give it all. That's what they're saying. Believeth in. That means to have faith, to know. Know he's got your back. Know he's going to save you. Not just, the Bible tells us in multiple places that even Satan believes in Christ. He knows. He knows he's there. Whenever the Christ was kicking out demons, they knew who he was. They believed in him. They knew who he was. So believing the Christ is your Savior is not the key. You have to know he's your Savior. Not just think it. You have to know it. It's deep down. It truly is. It's deep down. I think people reading this one verse right here has done more to hurt Christianity than anything. I truly do, because they don't explain it. They just say, you know, whoever believes in Christ, they're saved. And I've watched on TV and the internet and everything else, you'll have these preachers that'll have come up there. One of them, they go door to door. They'll have their congregation go door to door. Do you believe in Christ? Yep, you're saved. So they mark their number down as, yep, there's somebody that's saved. They'll sit there and say a little sinner's prayer with them, mark them down as being saved, take them in the next day, baptize them. Unbelievable. I mean, and that's going on everywhere. That's what I'm saying. You don't, but there's a lot more to this than just believing. You have to know he's your Savior. All right, I'm going to stop there. I hope I said something that was worthwhile to you, at least give you some food for thought. And as always, I hope I get some people to read the Bible again, because this is the Word of God. You know, a lot of times we pray and we ask God for something, and we're sitting there waiting on a voice or whatever in our head to say yay or nay or whatever it is that we're praying about. I have found that the vast majority of the time, whenever I pick this up, I'll open it up, to just arbitrarily open it up, and there's my answer. Because this is the Word of God. And I'm not saying that's the only way God talks to you, but I found that the vast majority of my answers I find right here in this book. So I'm just throwing that out there. Though you don't always hear that little voice in your head. It sometimes, actually for me, most of the time, comes right out of this book. And it is a living book. It's the only book in the world that is a living, breathing document. And it truly is a living, breathing document. Because there's nothing in this book contradicts itself. And this was written over the course of 4,000 years and by over 60 different authors. And not one word contradicts another word of it. The chances of that are humpteen trillion to one. I mean, you can't even do that now. If I was to write up, and I read you'll say you wrote a book or wrote a paper, and I physically read your paper, and I was to write something later about the exact same subject, they're going to contradict each other. It's just inevitable. That's just the way the human nature is. We always put our own personal feelings into it, and that's what's going to contradict. Just don't. It's not one contradiction in it, not one. All right, with that being said, I'm going to close, turn it back over to the pastor, and y'all have a blessed day. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brother Dennis, for sharing with us what God laid on your heart. All right. You know, we talk about the Bible being the Word of God. They've got legislation right now already drawn up, and they've got it ready to pass. They're trying to get it passed right now to make that book obsolete and to make that Bible a hate book. Book of hate. Because you see, it don't conform with the ways of life today. You know, most don't. And as he was telling you, we're looking at the last days of time. And I know most people don't want to hear it. That's why you don't see too many here. There's been since I opened this church back a few months back. This church has been closed a year and a half when I opened it. And it's been about 20 to visit me here. Where they at? I've had one stay. Well, two. I take that back. I've had two stay. Brother Dennis and James Taylor. James will be here tonight. He does something on Sunday morning I don't like. And I can't tell him not to do it. Wouldn't do no good to tell him no way. But he goes to another church. And what we need to be doing is tearing down the walls of these, of all of these denominations, and making them into one church. Because that's all there is. There's only one church. And you know, as we've often said, and as Brother Dennis knows, what I'm saying is true. The ones that really don't want to listen to you is your own family. Now, I've got three of you here in my family today. But you'd really rather be somewhere else. Because you can't turn loose what Dad used to do. And Dad knows, just like he was telling me, wasn't much I wouldn't do. Wasn't much I hadn't done. I had gotten to a point to where I could drink 30 cans of beer a day and stay cold sober. People knew me, didn't even know I was drinking. And yet I had was averaging 30 cans a day. And see, family don't want to forget things like that. They don't want to turn that loose. They don't know Dad in the last 20 or so years. They haven't seen the growth. They haven't seen the change that took over Dad. They haven't seen the depth that the Lord has moved into his life. And the knowledge that God has given to me. You know, others will see it a long time before your own family will. The man that owns this church, we've all known quite a while, especially my girls. They knew him when they wasn't supposed to have known him, really. They wasn't supposed to have known him back then at all. Because back then, the man that owned this church and this property run a strip club. That's where they knew him from. They had no business of being there. But see, he changed too. But his mother and dad was the one that built the church. My aunt. And his brother pastored this church till his brother passed away. You see his name out there on the wall, Otis. Huh?
The brother.
Back here? No, the one back here now is his daughter.
No, I'm talking about when he buried back there.
Oh, yeah, his brother's buried back here, yeah. Because back behind the church, we have a family cemetery here. But I was coming through here one day, and I saw him out front, and I'm just going to stop my riding. And I stopped out there. We were talking, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, he said, I wish you'd take this church, do something with it. Then we kept talking. I asked him, I said, oh, well, tell me, what's it going to cost me to take this church? Because I was about to leave where I was at. And he said, all it's going to cost you is to pay the utilities. He said, there'll be no rent if you'll take it. All I pay right now here, this church is the light bill and gas to heat it with in wintertime. That's all it costs me. Don't pay me rent. The Lord's been good to me in my older years. They've been the best of my years, has been my last 20 years. Because the first part of my life wasn't too awful good. We know, don't we? We know how things were. We know how we used to be. There was a time I'd have just soon fought with you, just shook your hand. Wouldn't have made any difference. And if I gave you a whooping, I'd have bought you a beer. And if you gave me one, you better buy me one. It wouldn't matter how many of you they was or how big you were. It didn't matter. My oldest one there was old enough. She's helped drag me out of the car a few times. I had a woman try to run over me. Had windshield shot out on me. Got stopped on the highway. Set up, looked like a wreck. The wreck was supposed to be me. Because the woman put a Chicago contract out on me. But then the good Lord stepped in. We don't know why he does a lot of things he does, but there's a plan for every one of us. We come into this world with him having a plan for our lives. We just don't choose to find out what it is and to follow it most of the time. But I thank him every day that I found him when I did. Has it always been easy? No. I love my family. I love every one of them. But it hurts because I know that most of them are not ready to meet him. And just as you was talking about, we don't have much time left. And this is what people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear this. But you know, regardless of how many years this world has got left, we each only got a few, and we don't know how few that is. You're not promised tomorrow, really. None of us can actually sit and say, oh, I'm going to be here next week. We don't know that. Look at the ones that thought that it ain't. This he handed me is that robot. That talking, moving robot. That you can find it in the Bible. It's to be during the days of the Antichrist. They've already got it. Think about it. We're told there'd be a great falling away before he comes back for the church. Look around you. The church itself, not his church, but the world churches today, has fallen. They've let mankind down. They're misteaching his word. We've got very few churches today that are actually teaching this Bible. We're teaching contrary to it. When they came out with this pandemic, so to speak, look what happened. Told the pastors, you got to close your church doors. What'd they do? They closed their church doors. Well, except for this one. That door was never closed. I never missed a meeting. And I told the man when he was telling me, you got to close that church door. And I told him, I said, no. He said, you can be fined and put in jail. I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what. You go ahead and fine me. And then you can put me in jail because I ain't going to pay the fine either. Because you don't have the authority. The governors don't have the authority. Our government don't have the authority to tell the church anything to do. It's wrote in our Constitution and the First Amendment. And then you go ahead and put me in jail. When you do that, you're going to give me a congregation that can't get away from me. So I'll be preaching to them in your jail. And I didn't close my doors. And I don't tell people coming here, you got to wear a mask. I'll have some ask me and I'll tell them if you want to wear it, you can wear it. But you don't have to come through that door. Because you see, most don't know about Psalm 91. Let me share that with you. Now, we'll get ready and close here in a few minutes. I won't hold you too much longer. But I did, sitting there with him, he brought a help the good Lord bring a few things to my mind. Psalms 91. We'll begin here. Let's see. Let's just start with verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou thrust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. When you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk in Him and He in you. You don't have to fear anything that this world out here has got to offer. VA called and told me, said, we've got your shot up here. Come and get it. I told him, I said, keep it. I don't want it. I ain't taking it. And where Libby's at right now. Every time I go down there to see her, I got to stand in front of a little machine, take my temperature. And they say, well, have you had your vaccine? No, and they ain't going to take it. He done told me, 1,000 can fall my left side, 10,000 my right. He ain't coming near me. I belong to Him. He's my help. He's my physician. He's my caregiver, my caretaker. I ain't afraid of it. And the only time I wear a mask is where I have to go somewhere, and they're not going to let me in without it. Then I'll put it on to do what I've got to do, and then I leave. My barber shop was one of them. Made a lot of sense, too. Can't get in the barber shop without a mask on. Go in there, get in the chair, they get ready to cut your hair, they take the mask off. Why'd I have to go in there with it? They're going to take it off of me. put everything to the store. All you hear, if you ain't got a mask, we'll give you one. You keep it. I don't want it. And I don't wear it. They ain't throwed me out yet because they want my money. But there are a few places you have to have them. And we'll be going to one today. Because when we go to see Libby, you have to have the mask. But there again, get to the door. Of course, they got the door locked. You got to have a mask on. You got to go in. Once again, you got to take the mask down to get your temperature taken. Then you put it back up. They bring it out on the front porch with you. That's where we've been meeting now, on the front porch. We take the mask down. They found out when this first started that mask does no good as far as this virus is concerned, but it does it more harm because it causes you every time you breathe, whatever germ is out here, it breaks into that mask and you can end up with it. More harm than good. But it was all political. That's exactly what this is being used for, political. To see how far and how long they can push you to get you ready for this one world government. And it's just about here. And I don't look for it to be too awful long. I may see it. I may see the Lord come for the church. I actually believe that. According to that book right there, when you read the book of Revelations and you can begin to understand it, and you read the 24th chapter of Matthew, and you see what it tells you to look for, to know that his coming is at hand, we're seeing it all around us. It's been going on for quite a while. It hasn't just started. There's been things going on for the last 10 years that we're told to watch for, and he tells us, he said, when you see these begin, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We don't have time to play church anymore. But that's exactly what most of them are doing. Most of them are telling you, you can't live your life without sin in it. Everybody's got to have sin in their life. That ain't what the Bible tells you. It's what they made it say. You know, most people today that's carrying what they call the Bible is really not carrying the Word of God. They're carrying what man made it. The NIV, America Revised, American Standard. It's all man made. Where he took it, added to and took out to get it to say what he wanted to say. Instead of staying with the King James, the one that was translated from the true script. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, they took out 1 Timothy 2nd chapter. They took out 1 Timothy 3rd chapter. They've done away with 1 John 3rd chapter. They've done away with 1 Corinthians 14th chapter. They've done away with 1 Corinthians 8th chapter. done away with 2 John, 3 John. Don't teach them no more, because they're contrary to what they teach. You don't hear them even teach anymore on the Gospel of John, 3 chapter. One or two, maybe every now and then. And we have right now 50 million people in the United States that profess to be Christian. Where are they at? You don't hear them stand up and say a word. They're letting all this go right on by. We're not to stand by and hold our peace. No. We're not to do it. And all of you that will, that can join me and be with me this evening at 6 p.m. for our service, you're going to hear some things that you probably ain't going to want to hear, because it's going to come straight from the Word of God. With that, I'm going to get ready and close. I won't hold you any longer. We've kept you an hour and 15 minutes. Like I tell them when they come, don't look for no quitting time, because quitting time will come when the Spirit says that's enough. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word today, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we give you thanks for a place that we can come and meet to share your word with each other and be a support one for the other, to reach out to those around the world, Heavenly Father. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, because we know that as of now, they have very little peace, Father. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, a land that stands without any excuse whatsoever, that has turned its back upon you, took Jesus out of every place he was in, but most especially they took that name from our children first. And Father, they've even, off of all of our buildings, not only took the name of Jesus off of it, but even the name God. But we do thank him for one thing, Father. There's one building they couldn't get it off of, because they couldn't get to it. And Father, this nation stands in need of the Holy Spirit working with us to help us to remove from office those that are against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to replace them, Father, with ones that will stand with the church, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch them, to fill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's friend, Sue. Sue's family in Texas. Amy's husband, Tom. And Tom's friend, Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma. For Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, this young man, Father, that is sharing your word with the young people there in Texas. Be with him. Use him in mighty and great ways, Father. For Terry Coates, Dennis Breed, and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Father, these men that come from different walks of life. But, Father, when they come together, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus. For the Glory-Bound Church of Irvington, for Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them lighthouses among the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, I pray that they walk close to the Lord Jesus Christ to where they are filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Keep these churches upon the pathway of righteousness. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, I lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what is needed there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, that light being Jesus. For my young friends in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishak, Pastor Afrin Zephron, Father, these all, keep them safe. Keep them in health. We know that they are walking in places to where, if they're found, will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, and Father, for my wife's family, my family, and for each family that will hear this message, we pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to be with each one, to keep them safe, work within those families, lead those that are walking in darkness from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none are lost and all will find heaven as their home. Jimmy Embry, Baby Jalee, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft, for Karen. Father, all of these, they stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them in a mighty and great way, and touch them to where they know that it is you and not mankind. Now, Father, this church is yours. It's not mine. You set me here as an overseer. Make of this church what you want it to be. Use me in mighty and great ways, Father, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my prayer this morning, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again at 6 p.m. this evening. Once again, back into the Word of Almighty God. So until then, walk with Him and He will walk with you. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.